words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. We'll stand for the reading of the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I want to preach to you this morning on the ministry of a father. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be together this morning in the house of God. I appreciate you blessing us through another week and protecting and preserving our lives, giving us the privilege of worshiping you. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning to give you glory and honor. Thank you for all of our fathers and pray your blessings upon them and their homes and their families. I pray that this service would be a benefit to them, and we'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In my text, Paul compares his ministry in the church at Thessalonica to the ministry of a father to his children. He says in verse 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So surely this kind of activity was common in Christian homes in Paul's day, or Paul's audience would have had no idea what he was talking about and what he was referring to. They were no doubt accustomed to fathers fulfilling this duty in their homes of exhorting and comforting and charging their children. And I believe that one of the main problems in our homes today is the missing ministry of the father. The father is the priest of his home. The priest was an intercessor. He was a go-between. He was a representative of heaven and of earth. He represented man to God, and he represented God to man. He pleaded for men to God, and he pleaded for God to men. This was the priest's duty, pleading to God for men and pleading for God to men. The priest was a go-between. And as the priest in the home, the father pleads for the well-being and the safety and the security and the salvation of his family. But the father also speaks for God to his family. He brings the thoughts of God, the message of God into his home, to his children, to his wife. So obviously, in fulfilling such a task as this, there's a certain amount of maturity involved in being a father. Not just everybody can fulfill the obligations of a father. It takes a certain amount of maturity. And when men are determined to be boys all their life, they'll never take seriously the ministry of a father. You gotta grow up. You gotta mature. Adolescent fathers tend to produce irresponsible children. You know, we live in an age where people refuse to grow up, and we're living with the results of that. Now, I'm gonna tell you something, fathers. If you aim to be a boy all of your life, I'm gonna tell you something. Your children are going to treat you like a boy when you get old, too. You have got to grow up. You've got to mature. You've got to begin to take life seriously. You have got to seek the wisdom of God and become a priest in your home. We which you represent your family to God and God to your family. You know we're living in a society that's increasingly marked by men who reject responsibility. And men who chase pleasure and profit all of their life tend to neglect the more important aspects of fatherhood. If a man is hooked on sports, he tends to push his children in that direction. If he is hooked on wealth, he tends to push his children in that direction. If a man is hooked on Christ, if he's addicted to the house of God, if he's fascinated by the Word of God, then he tends to push his family in that direction. So fathers, whatever you're hooked on, that's what you're going to push your family in that direction. So it's really important that fathers be hooked on Jesus and fascinated by the Word of God and by the things of God, and we push our family in the direction of those things that we are fascinated with. There is a theological dimension to being a father. We are modeling ministry in our homes. What a pastor is to his flock, that's what a man is to his family. Paul's ministry to the Thessalonians was comparable to what Christian fathers did in their homes. We exhorted, comforted, charged every one of you as a father doth his children. So there are three things that stand out in my text about a father's ministry. First of all, there's the model. He says, in verse 10, your witnesses and God also, how holily, justly, and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Secondly, there's the message. We exhorted, comforted, charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And then there's the mission, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So here's the model. We, as fathers, must model the behavior we desire to produce in our children. If you want your children to be responsible children, be a responsible dad. If you want your children to be praying children, be a praying dad. If you want your children to be men and women of the Word, be a man of the Word, given to the Word of God. We must model the behavior that we desire to produce. How many fathers desire to produce honorable children while modeling dishonorable behavior? But Paul said, look, this is how we behaved ourselves among you, because this is the kind of behavior we were trying to produce in you. Your witnesses, God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. This is the kind of behavior that every father should model in his home. How holy that man behaved. This is the kind of behavior that every father ought to characterize every father. How holy that man was. Hey, brother, this is what I would like for my children to say about me. How holy that man behaved in his household. You know, I know there's a lot of things that are important to men, and that size of that buck and how many horns he had and how many how big that fish was on the wall, and all those things are important to men, but there ought not to be anything more important than this, that when you pass away from this life, that your children say, that was a holy man. And God says, this is how we're to behave in our homes. We are to be holy people. And we're to deal justly. So a man in his home models what it means to be a just man. You remember it was said about Joseph, Mary's husband, that he being a just just a man. A man marked by just behavior. A man marked by being a fair man. A just man. A man that dispenses justice, wise decisions in his home and in his family. And he's to be unblameable. We've behaved ourselves. Paul said, you are witnesses, and God also is witness, that we were holy and just and unblameable among you. And you know, sometimes we think that's important at church, that a man be holy, just, unblameable. But it don't really matter in the home. It does matter in the home. That's where it really counts, is in the home. And Paul is comparing his ministry to the ministry of a father in the home. And the father is to model the kind of behavior he wants to produce in the lives of his children. He is the model. Secondly, this is his message. We exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. Now the word exhort means admonish or teach. And the father is on a lifelong mission of teaching, instructing. It's amazing, you know. Out of all the things that we say to our children in their lifetime, when we die, they'll remember a few choice things that we said. They wouldn't be able to write a book and give details about what you say during your life, but they'll remember a few choice things that you said in your lifetime, just a few. And they'll repeat those things over and over again, those few choice bits of wisdom they picked up from their father. I just read a book, well, most of it, about fathers, these famous people talking about their fathers. And it's amazing, you know, they pick out certain things that stood out to them about their fathers. And one man, you know, what stood out to him about his father was that his father was an irresponsible man. Never grew up. Always playing the field on his mother, you know. Hearing a woman holler outside and seeing his father get ready and leave and look out the window, and there he goes down the road with another woman on his arm. That's what he remembered about his father. Well, we don't want our children remembering such things about us, but they're going to remember certain things that we say to them. So there should be certain emphases in our home, certain things that we reiterate, certain things that we emphasize to our children. We emphasize to them the fact that work is honorable. That you, as long as you can work, as long as you're able-bodied, don't seek to get on the government roll. As long as you're able to work, you work. Now, that's one thing that we emphasize in our homes, the honor of working with your hands. We emphasize to our children that men are supposed to be the leaders in their home. That they're to be the spiritual leaders in their home. That women are to, their lives are to revolve around their families, their children, their home. We emphasize these things. We reiterate these things that are so critical and important to our children. We teach them the value of living right, serving God, going to the house of God, being praying people, loving the Word of God. We emphasize those things that are critical because they're not going to remember everything you say, but they're going to remember what you emphasize in that home. So we exhort, we admonish, we teach them, but we comfort them as well. That word comfort means to encourage. And the word encourage has this word in it. Courage. Encourage. It has the word courage in it. So this is what we do to our children. We put courage in them. We encourage them by putting courage in them to do what's right. We strengthen their resolve. to do the right things, to go the right direction, to live the right kind of life, to obey God in their life. We put courage in them by the things we tell them, by the words we speak to them, by the life we demonstrate before them. We put courage in our children to do what is right. I want to tell you something. I just got a call from a brother this morning that was here a few weeks ago. And this brother is Katie's brother, Brother Chris. Some of you remember how God blessed him in our revival. And he'd been working on Sunday. His job was heating and air, and he was on call on Sundays. And in that meeting, God dealt with him about working on Sunday. So he went home. I didn't know what happened, but he went home. He testified here that he wasn't going to work on Sunday anymore. So he went home, and he told me that this morning. He called me and told me this morning. He said, I went home, and I told the big boss. He said, I work with a huge company, but I told the big boss that I didn't want to work on Sunday no more. And he said, the boss sympathized with me. And he said, well, he said, I'll be really disappointed if I can't work that out for you. And so he went and talked to his supervisor. He said his supervisor was not very sympathetic about it. And he didn't know how it was going to turn out. But he'd already made up his mind. I'm not going to work on Sunday anymore. I'm going to the house of God with my family. And I'm not going to be working on Sunday anymore. Well, he said, God worked that thing out, where he has not had to work another Sunday since then. He's got his job, and God has blessed him. And I want to tell you something. You think those children are going to remember that? How Daddy made up his mind that he's going to the house of God with them, and no matter what it cost him, he's going to be in the house of God with his family. Do you think those children are going to remember that kind of decision by that father? Absolutely, brother. When he's dead and gone, this is one thing they're going to call to mind, that this man made a decision for Jesus' sake and stuck by it, and God defended him and took care of him. Hallelujah. And this is the kind of things, brother, that we teach. We instruct, but we also comfort and encourage our children to see that God takes care of people that serve Him in the beauty of holiness. We put courage in them to do what's right. We charge them. The word charge means to urge. It's a note of authority in this word charge. We charge our children. There's a note of urgency in that. We charge them. You know, we watch over their souls. We see when the devil is trying to turn them in the wrong direction. We stand in the way of the enemy, the adversary. We defend our children with the truth. We defend our children by warning them. We defend our children by praying for them and praying over them and guarding their souls. I want you to understand that not only are fathers modeling human ministry in the home, but they are modeling divine ministry as well. You might remember in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, where Paul is talking about chastisement. And he says that if you endure chastening, God dealing with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father's spirits and live? So he compares the ministry of the Heavenly Father to our ministry in the home, to our families. And that ministry includes correction. It includes chastening. It includes discipline. And that may be an out-of-date subject, but I'm telling you it's still in the Bible, that fathers are to discipline like the Heavenly Father disciplines His children. Now, when we realize that what we are doing is modeling after our Heavenly Father, it causes us to realize that we cannot afford not to discipline our children. And it causes us to realize also that we cannot be too harsh with our children, because we're modeling after our Heavenly Father. And so it makes our discipline to be more effective and to be godly when we realize that we're modeling after our Heavenly Father. So it keeps us from being too harsh with our children, and it keeps us from being too lenient with our children when we understand that our ministry is modeled after our Heavenly Father's ministry. And not only that, but also in how a father treats the request of his children. You remember the Bible telling us this. He says, "Which of you having a son, if he asks for a piece of bread, would he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask Him?" So here we have the model of our Heavenly Father giving good things to His children. When they ask, He gives good things to them. So a father, you see, in modeling after the Heavenly Father, gives good things to his children. Now the father has to determine what that good thing is. He don't give a pistol to a 6-year-old. You know. Your Heavenly Father knows when you come with a foolish request, He's going to turn that request down. So you understand that an earthly father, modeling after the Heavenly Father, He gives His children things that are good for them. So, you know, it's not just at being a father that we always saying, no, 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 discipline, discipline, discipline. We also demonstrate the love of God to them in giving them good things, providing a good atmosphere for them, providing good things for them to do. And so it is our job, not only a negative, it's not only a negative ministry, it's a positive ministry that we have in our homes. Finally, there's the mission of the Father in verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and His glory. This is the mission of every father. Same mission that Paul had in the church. This is the mission of every father, that his children will walk worthy of God who hath called us into His kingdom and His glory. Brother, every godly father, every saved father has this ambition for his children, to see his children saved and walking worthy of God. That means not just going to church, not just being a church member, not just saying I'm saved, but walking worthy of God. To see his children living a life of holiness and righteousness and truth. As the writer says in the book of 1 John, I have no greater joy than this, that my children walk in the truth. And the word walking is a word that indicates action. Not just, you know, they believe good. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I know my children believe, or I know they love God. If they're not walking right, they don't believe, and they don't love God. Because when you love God, you obey God. When you believe and trust in Him, you do what He says. So this is the goal, this is the object of our ministry in the home, is that our children come to know Jesus personally for themselves and live a life of obedience to God in their life. It is the pleasure of my heart to see my children serving the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I told my children, I said, I'm not raising y'all just to be bench warmers. I'm not raising y'all just to have, you know, a name that you're religious, that you're a Christian. I'm raising you for the benefit of the kingdom of God. I want you walking, talking, living a life of righteousness and holiness, building the kingdom, winning souls, using what God has given to you for the cause of Jesus Christ, the building of the kingdom of God. This is what God wants out of every father, that this would be our mission in life, that every one of our children would be saved and live to the honor and glory of God. We do not pray, Lord, save our children before it's everlasting too late. We say, Lord, save our children now so that they don't continue to live a life dishonoring God. We pray, God, save them right now so that they will begin to live a life honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me say this to you, fathers. When you're dealing with your children when they're young, you're dealing with your children, having devotions with them, there'll be times that you will see God dealing with them. You can perceive that God is speaking to their hearts. That's the time to deal with them about their soul, when God is speaking to their hearts. And nobody can perceive that any better than a father and a mother who's working with those children on a daily basis in devotions in that home. And you can tell when God is dealing with that child. And I'm telling you, there's nobody that can bring that child to Christ any better than that mother and that father in that home and in that family. So, fathers, this is our mission. We produce children walking in a godly manner, serving God in the beauty of holiness. This is our mission. Let's stand together. The ministry of a father, the ministry of every father like that is like that of the Apostle Paul in the church, that we model the right way, that we teach the message of Christ in our homes, and that our mission be that our children are walking in a godly manner. That is our mission. Years ago, I dealt with a man. He was dying in the community where I lived and where I pastored. I didn't know the man, but I went to see him in the hospital because he lived in the community. That man had been, Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. That man had been a member of the church, a church in that community for 40 years. And he told me, he said, I'm dying. And he said, I realize that for 40 years, I've been a hypocrite. I've been a church member for 40 years, and I was not saved and did not know the Lord. But there in the hospital, that man had given his heart and life to Jesus. And he said to me, he testified to me, tears in his eyes, broken up. He said, I've only got a few more days here. But he said, it is my ambition, it is my desire, my hope, that God will use me to bring my children to Jesus Christ. I don't want them to make the same mistake I did. By the help of God, what remaining days I've got, I'm going to try to persuade my children to get right with God. And you know, I don't know what happened in that man's case. I wasn't his pastor. I'm not sure what happened in that case. But I sure hope he got them all in. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as fathers, this is our ambition. And I want to encourage you, fathers. I want to let you know something. God hears your prayers. I mean, God pays special attention to fathers' prayers. There was a father that came to Jesus, had a son that was full of the devil. The devil tried to kill him, throw him in the fire, throw him in the water. And he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, if you can do anything, help me. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And Jesus rebuked the devil in that boy and cast the devil out of him. And presented him back to his father, made whole. The prayers of that father got the attention of Jesus. And I want to encourage you, fathers, don't ever give up. Keep on praying, leading the way in your families, teaching and instructing and dispensing the wisdom of God in your homes. It's going to have an effect on your families. You have a great influence in your homes. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're so glad this morning for our fathers. We thank you for their influence. We pray, Father, that you would bless them. Help us, Lord, to realize the power of our ministry in our homes. I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to model our Heavenly Father in our families, in the way that we discipline. Help us to model our Heavenly Fathers and how good we are to our children. Lord God, help us to praise them when they deserve it, to discipline them when they need it. And at the same time, Lord, help us to show the love of God to them. I pray that they'd realize that we love them. Never doubt that we love them. Even when we discipline them, never doubt that we love them. I pray, dear God, that you bless our fathers, encourage them. Dear Lord, if there are those here in this service that have children that are not saved, I pray that you'd encourage those fathers to keep on praying, keep on believing God, keep on lifting up their families to the Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to understand how much God cares about a father's prayers. Lord Jesus, help us to be holy in our homes, unblameable for our families, deal justly with those in our families. Father, I pray that we'd produce by the help of God praying children, children who love God, who live holy, who love God, who keep His commandments, who serve Him with all of their heart. Lord Jesus, you are so good and gracious and kind to us. I pray, Father, that you bless our homes. We're counting on you. Strengthen our families. Counting on you, Lord, to put our families in order. Counting on you, Jesus, to use our homes to produce godly children. This we know to be the will of God. Father, I pray that every father in this place would feel the encouragement of the Holy Ghost. You'd help us to seek after God with all of our heart, that we'd be the kind of father that we could hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We'll give you the glory and the praise and honor, Father. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, for His sake. Amen and amen.